Have you ever been involved in a prison riot?
No, not yet.
I've always I'm intrigued by prisons.
Yes.
Because I never want to be there.
Right.
But there's something about it. Like, I'm very interested in that. Because there's a whole nother life going on inside this country, but it's a different, whole different deal.
I saw Tango and Cash. Does that count?
Chaz and AJ in the morning, 99.1 PLR, 95.9 The Fox. Our friend Joe Carlone, former correctional captain for 25 years.
Captain, right?
Retired now. Good morning.
Good morning, guys. How are
morning.
You?
Good, thanks. Thanks for coming in.
Anytime, you know that.
What happened with this riot?
What'd you do?
So it was one time I was working at Hartford Correctional Center. We had a problem in one of the dormitories, and we had extra staff there. And we're like, we resolved that situation, and it's close to midnight where the shift changes. And we get another call to the opposite dormitory.
So you have all of these people.
120 inmates, two staff members.
Oh.
There was four dorms in this place, two on one end of the building, two at the other end. So we're going back, and we're like, oh, that was good. And then all of a sudden,
doesn't seem like enough staff.
Yeah, really, two folks and 120 people?
You could do the math very well there. Yeah, it was not, the ratio was horrible.
Right.
So we get a call to the other side of the building, and we go over, and as we're going over, we're running over, I say to a few staff members, like, they're going to be in trouble because we got a lot of staff. Well, when we get into the dormitory.
They're going to be in trouble because we have a lot of staff?
Yeah, we have a lot of staff because we had extra staff for the problem we had earlier. So we're coming across a dormitory.
How many's extra?
Maybe 15, 20.
All right, so you have 15, 20 coming up on 120. You're like, they're in trouble.
Yeah, they're in trouble. And supervisors.
They're not going to expect all of us.
That's right.
No. So we get over there and we open up the door and it's just mayhem. Mayhem. And I'm chairs flying, things flying.
Like how many people going nuts?
120 inmates.
They're all going nuts.
They're all going nuts.
All of them.
They're all fighting.
Any shit?
It's not like 80 are going nuts and 40 are watching.
There was shanks. They were using everything under the sun. Back in the day, there was wooden tables. They had broken off the legs from the wooden tables.
Now the clubs.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It was just mayhem.
Wow.
But there's a bubble, we used to call it, an area where the officers sat, but it's three sides of glass. But this had no doors on it.
Oh.
So we're kind of watching everything back at our walls, back against our backs.
Wait,
against
so the
walls.
So the 15 of you,
yeah,
go and like, they're gonna be shocked to see all of us, and
right.
Then you go and you open
Pandora's box,
And you see all this, you're like,
yeah. So we basically position ourselves just so we could observe everything,
right?
So this is happening, this is going on, and I remember one of my captains, big guy, he starts walking down the unit to see what's going on. It's just total control chaos. He starts walking back, and I've always looked up to this guy, still do. He gets hit in the head with a lock.
Oh.
Goes down to one knee.
Ow.
With a padlock?
Padlock, because they have padlocks.
Yeah.
So
how
did
they get a hold of padlocks?
They have padlocks, because they had
lockers and stuff?
Yeah, little lockers and stuff.
Who'd steal anything in a prison? Like,
No one at all. No one at all.
There's no honor among thieves.
But it was just crazy.
They all have padlocks to keep one another from stealing from each other.
Right, don't share your padlock secret.
Oh, but it was just crazy, because he goes down on one knee, gets back up, and comes towards us, and I'm like, here's our hero, our boss.
Right.
And he goes out, like, I'm thinking we're not making it out of here tonight, but we finally got it resolved, and I remember one supervisor.
Wait. How did you get it resolved? You let them just fight until they retired?
Yeah, essentially.
Okay.
And then we started. Then
that's
we started
how I'd
getting
resolve
them
out. It.
Yeah, because you can't really do anything.
You can't do anything.
So one of the supervisors goes to me, and this is maybe we're an hour into it, and he goes, "Hey, I want you to walk down to the end, see what's going on." I'm like, "Absolutely not! Why don't you go?" At this point, it's just. It's just chaos. And I remember the one thing that sticks in my head, in the officer's station, there was a fire extinguisher mounted on the wall. Uh-huh. I grabbed the fire extinguisher. I'm like, I'm taking something because we had nothing.
Yeah.
I mean,
how
back
would you
then,
use it? Would you use it to spray him in the face, beat him in the head, both?
Either or?
Both.
I would have used it
spray
to protect
first,
myself.
Beat later, right?
But it was just, because it was just total controlled. It was chaos.
Yeah.
Chaos.
Yeah. How much were you making?
Back then it was maybe $18 an hour.
Not enough.
Yeah.
No. Listen to me, there's things that stick in your head your whole life. there's certain things that happen in prison that just will never leave this brain that you saw or I saw, and it was just, that was just one of so many other things.
Do you know what started it?
It was a race war at back of the day.
Okay.
That was when the gangs were really big, you know, the Latin Kings, the Soul Eaters, the 20 Love, and there was just...
So they're not big now?
There's a lot of other gangs now coming up and stuff.
What do you mean by that?
Crips, Bloods, stuff like that are coming up. Those guys, I don't know, they just kind of
faded.
They're like
away companies.
You know, some of them, they're well run, and then all of a sudden you get a new leader, they're not so great, the company goes out of business.
The one that was leading the Latin Kings at that time got his management skills from a well-known company. He worked there for many years, and that's how he ran it.
You got to be a good leader.
It was a business.
Yeah.
And it was a business.
Right.
Incredible.
Every great king, every great general, every great CEO had great people skills.
The structure was so defined. There was written structure.
Right.
There was written rules. And it was just, everybody adhered to it.
Yeah.
And it was just insanity. One of the Latin Kings.
How would the mob families exist in this environment?
We really didn't see a lot of the
mobsters.
They
didn't go to your place?
No, they went to the Fedse.
Where were you?
I started at Hartford, went to Bridgeport, was at Cheshire. So
gotcha.
Where was the riot?
Hartford.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay.
And that's the county jail. The county jail was like, when you think of it, it was the most insane thing because you're getting guys off the street, right off the street, whether they're detoxing, whether they're having problems, whatever it was. It was just, and you know, everybody thinks that the drug detox was bad. I saw guys that were alcohol detoxing. 10 times worse.
Really?
10 times worse. I saw this skinny little kid. I mean, we were fighting with him every night for like 4 or 5 nights because he was alcohol detoxing.
He needed a drink.
He was just beyond out of his mind.
Wow.
And the strength was just like,
really?
Yeah, you were just like, what are we going to do?
It's like that crazy monster strength.
Yeah, every night. And
yeah.
I remember this one time we had an old timer. He was up the prison for a long time, but he would always come to us, and in wintertime, he'd get locked up so he didn't have to spend the winter times outside.
Okay.
Because he was homeless.
Yeah.
Every year, he would come back
to
us.
That's pretty smart.
He would kick.
Get your food,
there, yeah.
Get bed.
Medical, everything.
Heat.
Right, dental.
He would kick the door forever. I would walk down there, and back then, they could smoke in the prisons, and we had cigarettes, and you'd go to him and say, I'm not going to say his name. So-and-so, stop kicking for an hour, and I'll give you a cigarette. Give him a cigarette.
Ah, he was making deals.
He would stop. I mean, when I'm saying an hour, it was an hour to the second.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Right. Then start kicking again.
Wow.
Go down there.
Give him another cigarette.
Yeah, stop kicking.
Wow.
We had a gang member one
That's
time.
That's 8 cigarettes a shift.
Remember the old radios you had the metal antennas on them?
Yeah.
He was making a bomb out of it, sticking match heads in it.
Not the cigarette guy.
Another guy.
Just another guy.
A gang member.
Right.
He was sticking it because he wanted to get another gang. He was sticking match heads in it. Something happened.
Wait, so he took one of those small, hollow radio antennas.
The dipole antenna, yeah.
Okay, took the lower, bigger, wider end, right? And then started sticking match heads
in there.
It's, you know, there should be a show, and there probably is one, on the ingenuity of the people behind bars. Because they've done some stuff.
Yeah.
They know how to get things done. So this guy's sticking match heads in it,
and I guess it was too much pressure.
Oh.
It exploded.
Oh.
We got called. I was a supervisor at the time, got called to go to the unit. It was like he was shrapnelized. It was like a grenade went off.
Wow.
Just peeled apart.
Like, well, he made a good one.
Yeah.
But you said, Chaz, the ingenuity. And I said last time I was on the phone with you guys, I had guys make tattoo guns in seconds. I had a guy make a clock. I had paint. There was painters in there. It was just, it was mind-boggling what these.
Right, the artists. It's got to be almost sad when you see some of these people, brilliant artists.
The beautiful pieces
like,
they
you
make.
You just went down the wrong path, like you didn't find your calling.
Yeah.
We had this one guy in Hartford. He painted all the hallways. Unbelievable. Back then, they could have weekend furloughs and stuff. Like, he was at that stage of his incarceration. He'd come back. He was all drugged up again.
Oh.
It was just, it was sad. And the paintings that he did and the work that he did was just, it was unbelievable.
Stunning, yeah.
Just stunning. And they would, design tattoos for other guys. It was just, it's a world within a world.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a whole nother world. Okay, who was this famous inmate you had at your prison?
Let's just say he robbed armored cars in Connecticut. He had robbed armored cars and actually killed one of the guards.
Oh, yeah.
So he actually did my Scared Straight program. And
this is Joe Carlone, former correctional captain and organizer, one of the organizers of the Dream Ride we'll talk about in a second.
Yes.
He actually would speak to the students that were maybe troubled students or whatever it was, but or kids. And he put it the best, and I never heard a better explanation. Prison is the sewer of society. He said all the garbage comes here. For the most part, that is the most accurate statement you're ever going to make. And, as he got older, I was in charge of the two units at Cheshire at one time. As he got very old, he still had that combative nature and actually got in a fight where he got his behind handed to him really bad.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Like how bad?
Oh, bad. We had to bring him to the hospital.
Say bad, I'm thinking it's bad.
Bad.
Yeah. It's
like
you couldn't identify his face.
Wasn't
it was
a Band-Aid,
that bad.
Yeah.
Oh,
okay.
Yeah. It was swollen that bad and bloodied, and but he didn't back down. It was just to get into that mindset is just crazy.
But
it affects
you. Can't back down. Otherwise, you're a bitch.
Yeah, but it affects us. Everybody that works there, affects you.
Let's explore this for a second. So this guy's been in for a while. He's been teaching kids Scared Straight all this time. Getting older.
Yep.
He could have, not backed down, but just, I'm not going to let this bother me.
Yeah.
Right?
And it was more a pride thing, and he couldn't let it go. And the guy,
it's almost like road rage. You could let it go. Or you can engage.
When I did the investigation, the other individual had said, I didn't want to fight him, but he wouldn't let it go. So it was like, it definitely is
Can you believe that guy, though?
Yeah, really?
Yeah, you know what, Chaz, I got to tell you, after doing it for so long.
You could tell.
You have a gut feeling. Yeah. You know when you're hearing the truth.
I could tell people this all the time. My greatest asset is my gut. I could look at somebody and say, just got this bad vibe or whatever.
I think that's true with most people.
Yeah.
I think people just don't use it.
It's just
a superpower we don't use.
It's just that feeling, and it's just you get that feeling like, okay, they're telling me the truth, or they're skirting the issue, and that happened all the time.
Have you ever been to a woman's prison?
I was part of the tactical teams. We had to go there to do shakedowns and stuff.
Yeah.
And I think
Wait,
I told...
what's that?
Where you
that
go
sounds
through.
Not like Pornhub, is it? Pretty fun.
Very far from fun. That's where it happens at all the prisons. You go through them, search for contraband, go through the stuff.
What do you mean? Through their rooms?
Through their rooms, through their property. You go through
doctors
everything.
Doctors would perform the other searches, right?
Yes,
right.
Doctors.
Right. That's a volunteer only, though.
Yeah.
That's,
but it was like, I said we had gone in there, and I said, I never had been at the women's prison. I'm like, it can't be that bad, Women can't be. I thought it was 100% worse.
Wow.
They would
how worse? Like, were you were scared?
Not scared, but they were more vicious to each other than the guys.
Oh, yeah. It was a chick fight. Forget about
it. Yeah. They were more vicious to each other. And listen to me, the people that worked there, I had a lot of friends that worked there, would tell me the fights that they would have, the women, were pretty bad. They were ruthless. They would, they would go.
Really?
They would go to the end. Yeah.
Really?
No fight to death. No dance off here.
No dance off there. Yeah, but we went there. But I another funny story real quick. I remember it was on midnights, and I got a call, Hartford Correctional Center at the time. There was a fire. I go flying over there. And I had been a volunteer in the town I lived in Newington at the time. And the fire is still active. I look at the chief, and I go, hey, chief, have you guys figured out, the fire chief, where the fire is? No. I said, well, you want me to put on my gear? I had my fire gear with me. I'll go in with your guys to go.
So you were a firefighter?
Volunteer firefighter in a town in Newington.
All right. I think we have one of your firefighter guys on here who wants to say hi. Bill in Newington?
Hey, Joe. How are you? Bill P.
Oh, boy. That's a good friend of mine. Very good man.
How are you, my friend?
Good.
So, good. Haven't seen you in a long time. You haven't been up in town in a while.
No. We try to stay out of that town right now.
He's been busy.
But going back to the Hartford fire, So I go in with the Hartford Fire guys to get to the fire because, you know, you're talking a lot of keys, a lot of doors. We get to the fire.
So you have fire training and you're a prison guard. So you're like, I'll go with you.
Yeah. So I get in there, get them to the point because there's a million keys. It's like going through a house that every door you have to have a different key for.
Yeah.
So we get there. We put out the fire. I come back out. At that time, then they called our tactical teams. The Department of Corrections called their tactical teams to come because there was population everywhere. They had to evacuate all these units and stuff. So I was in charge of the tactical team at that time. So I had to go put on my tactical gear. I come back in. I go with the tactical guys to get guys moved back in, get them back to their housing.
What's the tactical gear? Helmet?
Helmet.
Vest?
Vest, belts with right. PR-24s, handcuffs, mace.
Wait, with what? Pair?
PR-24s,
what's
the batons.
That? Batons. Oh.
So
it's a very nice way of saying a club.
No, sir. It's a PR-24.
Yes, it sounds nicer.
That's good.
You want a PR-25.
It looks better on a order form like clubs.
It sounds nice.
Bats, clubs.
Right. So we get the EMA population back into their housing units, and now it's like 4 or 5 in the morning. I have to switch and go back into my lieutenant uniform. Because now I got to do facility duty.
You're more costume changes than at a Cher concert.
But it was funny because we said it was like I was a Superman that day going to a booth, keep changing. But it was just the MA population was everywhere, and it was just total controlled chaos. You would never think in a million years at a county jail, some of the newer prisons, that you would have a fire because it's all concrete.
Right.
And it was all where they stored
burn.
Yeah, it was all where they stored the clothing and stuff. It was just countless and countless stories, things that happened.
I have a million questions I didn't even get to, and we're coming into the end here. You got to come back
anytime.
Thank you for your service.
Yes, thank you.
Oh, thank you.
You see stuff. You know, we don't think about prison guards. We think about the first responders, rightfully so, in the military, but we don't think about these prison guards.
Just talk with them afterwards.
They see a lot of stuff that you can't unsee.
Right.
So. Dream Ride.
Yes, sir.
When is it?
August 23rd, 24th, and 25th.
I'm in this year. I'm going to drive.
Chaz, I'm holding you accountable.
I'm in.
Okay.
I wrote it in.
And we're going to get you a car.
And he will.
I wrote it
and
in.
And he will.
I'm in.
We'll get you a car.
Oh, I'm not telling him I'm not coming now.
It's rain or shine. It's rain or shine, by the way.
And
rain
Bill or shine. From Newington Fire, thanks for calling. Thanks for what you do.